Don't have an eraser here. Anybody know where that went?
I was using paper.
I'll just write one here. But we have these lines of force, and the lines are supposed to crisscross like this and meet in the middle. But where our words are not true and correct and vibrant, the lines miss the middle. They go on the outside here, but they need to meet in the midway point to create a point of power. And then the word becomes God when they all meet in the same place. And so, if we're forced to tell a lie, or if we tell a lie consciously, we miss, our word misses the point of power.
Does that include lies of omission?
What?
Does that include lies of omission? Withholding the truth from somebody? Do you think it might hurt them?
Well, no, not if... Unless it's totally deceptive that you're withholding, but if you withhold information, like I say, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. And God conceals many things from us, so He omits a lot of things from us.
No, not from glory, like a husband and wife, and she doesn't want to hurt his feelings, so she doesn't say anything.
Well, like if you commit adultery and then keep it from your wife, that's, you know, that's pretty
probably
serious.
Better idea. You know,
if something serious like that, maybe. But if you, so let's say you do something embarrassing and you don't want to tell your wife. Maybe you spilled something somewhere in the corner or something.
Lies of omission with consequences.
Whenever I do something embarrassing, I don't want her to find it. She finds it within seconds. It's amazing. I don't know how she does it. I can't keep anything from her. I'm glad she's not. Wasn't my mother. I could keep a lot of stuff from my real mother. But Artie, I just figure I might as well be totally honest with her because she's going to find out everything. But, if it depends. You know, your soul will tell you when it's all right to keep something. Like I say, if somebody asks you, are my thighs too fat? Well, you know, you don't want to blurt out, yeah, you're just fat as a pig. You don't want to do that. So you want to say, you know, make it as general as you can. Say, well, you know, you look better than you did last month or something like that. You know? Make it as nice as you can without telling a lie. I've met quite a few people that are honest to the point of hurting people's feelings. And I say, well, you shouldn't hurt the guy's feelings that way. And they'll say to me, well, I believe in being honest. I had to tell him the truth. I said, well, you didn't have to tell him the truth that way. You know, you could have told him the truth and not hurt the feelings, you know. You didn't have to tell the guy he was fat or he was stupid or something like that or his mind wasn't right. But you could have let the guy down gently, you know, and still been honest. And so it's a person can do almost everything in life. You can make errors if you go too far to the extreme. If you're too starkly honest to the point of being hurtful, that's not good. If you're deceitful to the point that you cover up the truth, that's not good either. That takes away the power from your words. But to be honest mixed with kindness is the way to go.
So a lot of it has to do with your intention.
What'd you say?
The intention behind it.
Yeah, the intention is the what? You know, some people take joy in being so starkly honest, it makes the other person almost cry.
I know my dad was like brutally honest, but he had great intention. He didn't mean to be mean or just be brutally honest.
Yeah.
Tell you,
yeah, that's what I tell my dad.
He'd say, well, what happened to your thighs? They're a lot bigger than they used to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people were like that, you know.
Holy cow, look at the size of your thighs.
He said, like, what's going on? You've got a lot of weight. Now, what's going on? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a dad's parenting, I think.
Yeah, and like I say, some parents actually feel in competition with a kid and put him down. And they do it in the name, well, I got to be honest with my kid. He's stupid. So, you know, what do you want me to do? Lie to him and tell him he's smart when he's stupid? No, you don't word it that way to the poor kid. You know, you destroy him. You make him think he's stupid.
Any
Okay, so we need to make ourselves in harmony with the Spirit, with all the words that we speak. And this includes not only being honest, but being kind. So that this is another aspect of it. Is one of the things that people seem to go away with the impression of Jesus was that he was kind. Now, I've taken a number of people back in past lives that claim to have met Christ, and in almost every time, they say he was extremely kind. Now, whether or not that was a real encounter or not, it's interesting that I've got that reply quite a number of times from people that say they've encountered Jesus in a past life of some kind, that he was very kind. And so his kindness, and he preached kindness. He says, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And who is your neighbor? He says, and he picked an example of the Good Samaritan, who the Jews hated Samaritans, but the Samaritans hated the Jews. But in that case, the Good Samaritan took care of his neighbor, who was normally his enemy, and he was kind to him. And so Jesus taught kindness. And that was one of the reasons that his words had so much power. Not only was he totally honest, but you noticed, and that's what you notice when you read the words of Jesus, there's no deception in anything he said. He was just starkly honest, yet kind. Except with the hypocrites. That's one thing that really bothered him. He was very understanding of, all kinds of sins, adultery, tax cheats, all kinds of people. But when someone was a hypocrite, I mean, they were the only ones that he really let have it in a very stark way. He says, "Oh, ye hypocrites, you travel and compass a whole world seeking a convert, and when you make him more twofold child of hell than you yourself are." You know, he said stuff like that to him, and really made him mad. They really felt like crucifying him after he was done going after him. But that was one thing that really bothered him, was hypocrisy. It's the only sin that he was not compassionate about. I feel a little bit the same way. You know, when you see somebody being really hypocritical, it is very annoying. Maybe we shouldn't be so annoyed with these guys, but it is probably the most difficult wrong that people can do to justify is true hypocrisy. But the funny thing about hypocrisy is people call other people hypocrites, especially on the internet now. Everybody's being called a hypocrite, whether they're a hypocrite or not. People are called hypocrites when there's no evidence they're a hypocrite. For instance, just they'll say, "Well, you're for smaller government, therefore you're a hypocrite for taking Social Security." Well, if you pay into Social Security, you paid into it. It's like an annuity with an insurance company. And if you pay premiums for an annuity with an insurance company, it's not hypocritical to take it out. Okay, that's not hypocrisy at all. True hypocrisy is going against what you say, put in words that you believe in. That's what true hypocrisy was. And the ones that Jesus had to contend with, these people claim to be the door to the kingdom of God, to be able to decide, tell the people how to get into the kingdom of God, yet they didn't have a clue how to get there, and they weren't letting people into the kingdom, and so and did everything to discourage people from entering the kingdom. Therefore, Jesus was correct in labeling them as hypocrites. This was a true form of hypocrisy. So, when our words are tempered with kindness, with truth, and with what else? Anything else our words should be tempered with?
Compassion.
Love. Discerning. Forgiveness is a really big one. Okay. If you have a grievance toward someone, your words toward them will have no power. For one thing, you're not completely honest. because you're keeping the grievance in. You haven't explained to the person what the grievance is.